Wednesdays around here, we do something called the Great Debate. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, we are inspired by the news this week, which is yesterday, the Boston Celtics were talking about their championship and the relationship between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and whether they're the best duo now in the NBA got us thinking about the greatest duos of all time. And that's where we land on for the Great Debate today. Let's go.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, greatest duos of all time. That's what's on tap for you today. Perloff, the floor is yours.
Okay, I'll start with the obvious one. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. I think this qualifies as the greatest duo because they complement each other. You know, they're probably, you could argue there's greater individual stars that were both on the same team. But everything that Michael Jordan needed in a partner was there with Scottie Pippen. He's the ultimate Robin because he could do some of the shutdown defense, so Michael could save his energy when he needed to. And he could do the transition offense, too, to give Michael a lift. I mean, I just think when you say great duos, Jordan Pippen immediately jumped to mind. Let's hear some.
I would never be able to find a tandem, another support system, another partner in a game of basketball like Scottie Pippen. He was a pleasure to play with.
What a show the Bulls are putting out here. Get the right back to Jordan.
He helped me so much in the way that I approached the game, the way I played the game. Whenever they speak Michael Jordan, they should speak Scottie Pippen.
When everybody says, well, I won all these championships, but I didn't win without Scottie Pippen. And, you know, that's why I consider him my best teammate of all time.
Not everyone viewed The Last Dance as complimentary. Scotty apparently not a fan of his portrayal in that. But the reality is on the basketball court, whether they like each other now or not does not matter because they did it all on the court.
You know, it's almost a shame if they're not getting along, you know?
Well, Scotty hated The Last Dance.
I know he did, and Scotty's going through a lot, you know?
Yeah,
and his personal life.
Yeah, the personal stuff with Michael's kid. But doesn't... Really, I don't think that's relevant to this conversation because you say duos. I mean, that's for me immediately pops to mind, especially a sport like basketball where teammates matter. And I think Tatum and Brown are actually more interesting duo because they're exactly the same level. Jordan was a big brother, little brother in this sense.
There you go. We're doing greatest sports duos today. And I was inspired watching the Stanley Cup Final. Give me a little Wayne Gretzky, Jari Kurri, not the Mark Messier. And it's for a similar reason that Perloff's talking about. Who complemented each other? Gretzky and Messier were probably the two biggest stars, maybe from that Edmonton Oilers dynasty. But it was Gretzky and Kurri who were playing on the same line. When you talk about Kurri assisting on 196 of Gretzky's goals. And Gretzky returning the favor with over 240 assists on Kurri. I mean... These two guys together were unstoppable to the tune of four Stanley Cups. The dominant dynasty. It defined an era of hockey. Here's what it sounded like.
Come the Oilers 2-on-1. Gretzky down the right side with Kurri. Gretzky to Kurri. Score!
Unbelievable, right? And that's why I want to go with Kurri to the point you made, Pearl. Again, the two guys who were complimenting each other the most. Messier is... remembered as being Gretzky's, you know, great teammate, but they didn't play on the same line. They didn't really play on the ice together very much because both centers. So give me Gretzky and Jari Kurri.
You could have also done one of the goons who protected Gretzky and sort of followed him around and hit people.
Right, yeah, the goon.
Yeah, the because Gretzky invented it. He could do whatever he wanted because he always had a tough guy. But no, that's a really good one. I mean, listen, the numbers are certainly there.
Staggering.
By the way, Draisaitl is kind of a Messier, Gretzky. Draisaitl and Connor McDavid being there is pretty crazy because Draisaitl could be a gigantic star in himself, but he gets overshadowed.
Maybe at one point they may be on this list, but they got a lot more winning to do. Okay, we're doing great debate today. Greatest sports duos of all time. EJ, what's up?
Okay, so I think you guys are somewhat on the right track, but I think one of the problems I had was that both you guys went with goats of their sport. So to me, as great as their wingmen were, I think maybe you have a different wingman, you still have the same result. I wanted two guys that I think needed each other as much as you know, it was a balanced situation and not necessarily a GOAT versus a very good player. So I'm going to the original sports dynasty in basketball. I'm going to the Boston Celtics. They did just win a championship, so I think it's apropos to go with Bob Cousy, Bill Russell. They won 6 championships together. Bob Cousy's the point guard, helping Bill Russell get the rock. Bill Russell is the defensive anchor that's blocking shots, that's leading to the very infamous or famous Boston Celtics fast break led by Bob Cousy. That was a tandem to me that was perfect. It really kind of defined the NBA of that time. So I'm going, as sad as it is for me as a Knicks fan to represent the Celtics again for a second day in a row talking about Boston, I got to go with the Bob Cousy, Bill Russell tandem as the greatest sports duo of all time.
Okay, let's move to Pete Bilotti. We're doing greatest sports duos of all time for our great debate inspired by Tatum and Brown winning a title. What do you got, Pete?
The best quarterback ever, the best coach ever, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Their success, most of their success came together. And without each other, I mean, Brady won another ring, but the overall success will not be equal. So they won 6 rings. They beat the Legion of Boom. They beat the greatest show on turf. You'll never see anything like it ever again.
There you go. Belichick and Brady, great duo. Crystal Presti is in for Bogish. Who's your greatest sports duo of all time?
All right, I'm going back to the 1920s and 30s, Murderers Row, and EJ, I guess, will disapprove because I got 2 goats here in Babe Ruth. And Lou Gehrig, of course, of the Yankees. And, I mean, you just talk about massive numbers. So in their time together, which was more than a decade, they were 1-2 in home runs. There was no war back then, but they've since added that. They were 1-2 in that category together as well during the time. And in the stretch where they played together, they hit more home runs than 9 of the other 15 teams in baseball. And yeah, you've also got the championships, by the way. Technically 4, but after Gehrig became a regular player for the Yankees, it was 3. And in those 3 World Series that they won, the Yankees in those World Series were 12-0.
Wow.
So as dominant as you can get. Obviously going back quite a ways when baseball was at a different stage, but 2 of the iconic names in baseball. And an honorable mention, just because we're talking so much about his passing today, Willie Mays and Willie McCovey as well. So no championship there for the two, but a big-time duo for the Giants for many parts of the 60s and into the 70s.
Yeah, that's a great call, CeeLo, on Mays and McCovey. So this is the greatest sports duos of all time. You're welcome to weigh in on who you think is the best. Now, we kind of went with, like, the mainstream traditional sports here. You know, there's, like, a couple, like, ice skating pairs and, like, you know, Misty Mae Trainor and Kerry Walsh. Like, if you're a beach volleyball duo, we could have gone a little more outside the box here. We all went pretty down the middle.
Well, I feel like duo, we were kind of doing team sports in a way. Like, to do, like, a doubles tennis. Like the Bryan
brothers or whatever.
Yeah,
Serena and Venus were great as doubles pair.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be cheating a little bit.
Well, we annoyed Perloff yesterday when we talked about this. I don't know if we're bringing it up now.
Oh, what? Yeah, remind me. I totally forgot.
Well, we were talking about how vast this could be, and we mentioned, hey, we could do Reggie Bush and Matt Leiner.
Oh, Perloff got off the phone.
Christian Leighton and Bob Cousy, and if you're Perloff was so annoyed by this.
You can't do Leinart Bush. Well, and by the way, how did you guys all not do Montana Rice? But whatever. Well, that was the obvious
one. Why did you pick it?
You could have picked it. But the
Because I already had Jordan Pippen.
So what was funny about that is I actually did look at Montana and Rice. But if you really want to go by the numbers, it was Steve Young and Rice who had the better numbers. So, but
I actually thought that same exact thing. But go ahead.
So here's Perloff almost like quit the show yesterday because we dared bring up Leinart and Reggie Bush. You were mad. But would it really have been Bush and Lendell White would have been the better duo, maybe as just the two running backs from USC.
It really was an argument about
fair argument.
If you're doing a GOAT argument, it was the structure of the debate. If you're doing a GOAT argument in the sport, you can't dip down and say these guys were better in college. You can't argue Doug Flutie's a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes or something. Like, that was sort of what bothered me. Like, you're doing a GOAT argument and say, oh, Leinart and Bush at USC.
The success of a sports tandem.
No, for them, like, at the time.
I just think, I mean, put up a poll. Who's a greater sports duo, Montana Rice or Leinart and Bush? I think, it's going to be like 95-5.
If I do Leinart and Bush at USC, I guarantee you it would not be a blowout.
But you know what I mean. Like, that's Yeah, it just it does. And also, too, Leiner and Bush just didn't really.
How?
Hit
they
for
both
me.
Were two Heisman Trophy yeah. winners playing at the same time. They won back to back national championships, almost won three. Is there any other conversation for a college duo?
I looked at it. I don't know. You mentioned about like Christian Leitner and Bobby Hurley. I mean, Grant Hill was also a big part of that, right. too. So it's like. It would have been hard, I think, for basketball, for college basketball.
Yeah, Hurley and Lehner would have annoyed me as well. You're telling me Hurley and Lehner, I understand. My argument was just that you got to do pros are greater by definition than college. That was really...
That did bother me.
No.
Yeah, you take college for what college is.
But you would
is,
never and... say Christian Lehner might easily be the greatest college basketball player of all time. Tim Tebow might be the greatest college football player. Nobody's putting them on a list above Joe Montana and
Michael Jordan. But we're talking about great duos competing in whatever they're competing in, right? Because you also wouldn't say Misty May Traynor is not as good as, you know, like Diana Taurasi. It doesn't, of course, we're talking about when they're competing, yeah. where they're competing. It's not Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush against Joe Montana and Jerry Rice.
Yeah, if we mentioned the greatest coaches of all time, we would say Nick Saban gets in the conversation just because he wasn't didn't work in the NFL.
Well, that's why I wanted to do Kobe Bryant and Evan Monsky, the Lower Merion duo, led the 1996 yeah. Lower Merion title. I don't know.
Let's put that poll up.
I just feel like Leinart and Bush and Pippen Jordan. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. Maybe because Leinart didn't go on to be a star in the NFL, and I'm doing a little Monday morning quarterback on that.
So we're doing the greatest sports duos of all time. You are welcome to weigh in on. Who gets your vote? 855-212-4227. What if we did currently best sports duos? You mentioned McDavid and Draisaitl. I mean, Mahomes and Kelce.
Brown and Tatum.
Tatum.
But then again,
I made that case yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, people were doing Luka and Kyrie.
That wouldn't age well.
Yeah, but I mean, 2 weeks ago we were doing, is this the greatest offensive backcourt of all time? So, and I think Joker and Murray's good. There's a lot of
NBA. I think at one point, Clay and Steph.
Yeah, LeBron Definitely. And AD. Yeah, man.
Well, LeBron and Kyrie.
I would say LeBron and Dwayne Wade.
Oh, that too.
LeBron really, makes the really list good. A couple
yeah,
different
Yeah, that's
times.
The thing. Like, yeah.
Kind of felt like LeBron carried Dwayne Wade towards the end, though.
Oh, and he didn't carry Kyrie?
No.
You take LeBron off that team, what was that team?
If Kyrie's not on the team, they don't win the championship.
Yeah, but if LeBron's not there, they might not be in the playoffs.
Right, but I'm saying with Wade, again, those finals, look at those numbers. He was...
Ooh, I don't agree with that at all.
You think that LeBron didn't carry the Heat to the last two?
I don't think it was about carrying. I think that Wade took on a different role. I think he specifically said, and I think they have not acknowledged this, after the first season they lose to the Mavs, Wade went to LeBron and said, it's your team.
And guess what? LeBron was taking those clutch shots and making those clutch shots. Right. When he went to Cleveland, who hit the biggest shot?
Well, yes, but LeBron wasn't exactly a bystander in Cleveland.
I'm not saying
he's the reason they won that title.
Kyrie had 41 in game five.
He did, but LeBron, I mean, the three-pointer was as big, the block was just as big as the three-pointer.
Which is why I'm just saying, together, that's a great tandem.
It is a great tandem. But, yeah, I mean, listen, LeBron and Wade had more titles.
I feel like LeBron and Wade's a little more iconic to me because Irving didn't last and it kind of ended acrimoniously. I think that's part of it when I look back on it.
Yeah,
Wade and LeBron is so iconic.
855-212-4227. Greatest sports duos is the great debate today. Leland is our pal in Sacramento, big 49er fan. What do you have, Leland?
Hey, good morning, Maggie and Quilla. How are you guys?
We're good.
My greatest sports duo that certainly is a 49er, and I'm going back to Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, the catch, 1981 NFC Championship game where we beat the Dallas Cowboys, went on to win our first Super Bowl.
Yeah, Montana and Clark, but Montana and Rice, Leland? You'd put Montana and Clark over Montana and Rice?
Yes, I am. Well, only because they paved the way. You know, football was played a lot differently, you know, back in the 80s. Quarterbacks weren't protected like they were in the Tom Brady era. It was a lot more gritty, different game. And so I want to give a shout-out to the late Dwight Clark and Joe Montana, still with us. But those guys paved the way. They're icons. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Leland. Thank you so much for making it. Seeing a bit in the chat here, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. If you're shy, you don't want to call the show, you can always put your nomination right there in the chat. I'm seeing from P. Maddie, Brady and Gronk. He said, it pains me to say so, but it's true. Pete had Brady and Belichick.
Yeah, I think if you're going to pick a player, Gronk would probably be the guy, right?
Yeah.
Although Gronk, Yeah.
It was, as opposed to who? Edelman?
Gronk only got one Super Bowl, right? He was only on the field. He only, how many did he win? Because he was hurt for one of them.
He got the one in Tampa also.
Yeah, he got
Tampa
one.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I like this one from Billy Wolf. Best duo, the Oilers fan.
That is true.
Oh, he wins with that one.
Way to be creative and get your mind out of the gutter. 855-212-4227. You're still welcome to weigh in. We're remembering the life and legacy of Willie Mays all show long. He passed away yesterday at 93. 855-212-4227. We've got so much more for you, including an update on where Dak Prescott is today. We'll tell you next.
Great show debate today on Maggie and Perloff. Greatest sports duos of all time. You're free to weigh in. 855-212-4227. We all pick sort of iconic sports legends. I was thinking about this debate. Great show, sports debate. Great sports debate. Should we have done players who compliment each other, like we're good friends? Does that matter? Like, I feel like Brady and Gronk party together. Like, do they have
to? They did? Brady parties?
Oh.
Well, I know he almost threw the Lombardi into the ocean, but.
I feel like Brady and Gronk were close. No, and I think that's a good point.
A little different lifestyle.
But I feel like they were really good friends, weren't they? Is it Gronk Brady's guy?
I'm sure.
Edelman, Gronk, and Brady, the threesome. Anyway, so the fact that Pippen and Jordan, which is my choice, don't get along, that kind of weakens them. I'm trying to think of people who made them, both of them, better. Like, they don't exist without each other.
Well, I think Mac in Sacramento may have your perfect illustration of that. Mac, good morning. Who's your greatest sports duo?
It has to be the greatest double play duo of all time, Alan Trammell, and ought to be in the Hall of Fame, Sweet Lou Whitaker.
Yeah, right. Mac, you're making Perloff's point right here.
Right,
you don't have one without the other. What a great call, no. Mac.
Yeah, you can't say one of those guys. Like, somebody, when you say their name, immediately goes to the next name. Maybe Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will end their career that way.
It's possible, and they could. I mean, I remember being... It was really touching when they finally retired Whitaker's number, because that didn't happen until like after the pandemic and after over 1,500 double plays. I remember Alan Trammell said, you know, I felt kind of uncomfortable because my number three has been retired, but your number one hadn't been retired. And it was just, you talk about guys who appear to be really good friends even to this day. 19 seasons together, all those double plays, winning the World Series in 84, all that, and it seems like they're still pretty close.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I'll say a name like Curry and Thompson, are they like that? Or is Curry too big a star, baby?
I think they get along. I think if Klay Thompson is on the team this upcoming season, I think it's because Steph Curry wants him on the team because he needs him.
Not just the getting along part, but can you say one name without immediately thinking of the other? I think maybe Curry's too big a star. Like, that could be the conversation. What's the duo where they really only exist at that level as a duo and not as individual stars? I'll think about it.
Let's go to Randy, is in South Carolina. Randy, greatest sports duo ever is who?
I say Magic and Bird, even though they weren't teammates. Very, very good, because the NBA needed them at that time. And it's well documented how close friends they are and great competitors, but also friends, and it kind of brought the NBA league back.
Randy, it's that outside-the-box thinking that we didn't have here this morning. Thank you for bringing it. We put teammates, you know, we thought of that way. I think Magic and Bird, greatest sports rivalry of all time, no doubt. I don't think of them as a duo, but I see where Randy's coming from.
But it's funny, you say Magic, it's not far behind that you might say Bird.
Totally.
So they are completely linked in that sense, where one name doesn't mean the same without the other.
Federer and Nadal, same type of thing.
Oh, does Joker screw up that duo a little bit? I don't know. I think Borg McEnroe is closer.
Maybe that's a little bit closer.
Obviously, Ever Lloyd, Martine, and Navratilova, there's a documentary out about the two of them. They were linked.
Yeah, Chris Ever and Martine and Navratilova.
Jack and Arnie.
That's another one. Yeah. We think about this more as rivalries, though. When I think duos, I think Batman and Robin type stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what we were getting at.
Same page here. Oh. Adam's in Vancouver. What's up, Adam?
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
We're good. Who's your best sports duo?
I'm going to go with the Wonder Twin Powers Activate, Daniel and Henrik Sedin.
It's a great one. You know, and Adam, thank you for that. so many great hockey duos, the Sedins. You could also do the Richards, right? Henri.
Yeah.
You got, I think
brothers are cheating, though. That gets back to the Bryan brothers.
Is this like Serena and Venus?
I think siblings are, you can't be a duo if you're siblings because you're, it's cheating.
But at least in the Sedin's case, they were on the same team. It wasn't just, hey, we're in the league together like the Tkachuk brothers are right now.
Yeah, but that's Maurice and Henri would be the same type of thing. There's so many good hockey ones. I pick Gretzky and Jari Kurri. I could have gone, Crosby Malkin, which is just even a more recent
one.
Where's
a good one?
Help me here. Lemieux and Yager were on the same line, weren't they?
Yeah.
Or no.
They might have been at stages. Yeah. I don't know if they were consistently.
All-time duo, Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito. I mean, we could really go. Sure. Hockey could be its own thing.
The Blackhawks recently with their 3 cup wins with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. So, I mean, up there with some of these other names, but in more recent history.
And Stan Mikita and Bobby Hull would be another one.
I got a good one.
Yeah.
I got a good one. Two names that you really don't say without each other. Karl Malone and John Stockton.
Yeah.
Stockton and Malone.
I thought about them, but because of the shortcomings in the playoffs, I stayed away from that. But
Oh, sorry. I realized I just stole that from a caller.
Yeah, well, Alan is in South Bend. Perloff just stole your thunder, Alan. You had it first.
Sorry,
what's up, Alan?
Hey.
Hey.
I say Stockton to Malone because Stockton had the most steals in the NBA history, the most assists in NBA history, and Malone was about fourth leading scorer. They just couldn't get over the hump, but man, they were for 12 years together. And also, Cousy and Russell, that's when I started liking the Boston Celtics in the 50s and 60s. They had about half those titles that they have now together.
Alan, you and EJ, same book, same page. EJ also picked Cousy and Russell. Thank you for weighing in. Perloff stole your thunder on Stockton and Malone. You're right. That's definitely, you can't say one without the other.
Right, because they made each other so much better. I'm not sure and I think Pippen and Jordan are the same thing. They made each other better, but Jordan probably would have won with anybody.
Ouch. You're really going against your own argument there.
No, I know, but they compliment. Like, I will argue against CeeLo, I don't know that Ruth and Garrick, because I wasn't there. Maybe did they make each other better?
But CeeLo,
individually,
you were there.
But you're maybe a Yankees historian. Did they make each other in baseball? It's hard to be a duo in the same way. Basketball, Stockton can throw it to Malone and dunk the ball.
Yeah,
like baseball, it's a little harder.
They were loaded, but we think of them together because Murderers Row went the jersey numbers. They were back to just 3 and 4. So they were hitting back to back in the lineup and had these prolific numbers.
Yeah, I mean, imagine.
What would the analytics have said today?
They shouldn't be batting 3-4. One's got to be leading off. The other's got to be hitting second. What are we doing here?
Yeah, you can't exactly walk Lou Gehrig with Babe Ruth. Like, that's Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
He's the Babe Ruth of baseball.
I'm sure they were saying that back then. Let's grab in a couple more just before we get to the update. How about Mike's in Seattle? Hey, Mike.
Hey. Yeah, I called in. How about Larry Zonka and Jim Kick back in the early 70s?
But you can't do that. That's a trio. What about Mercury?
Yeah, Mercury too. Yeah, undefeated year. Yeah.
I think that's the only team with 3 1,000-yard rushers, right? The 70s. Yeah. I actually thought of that because I was thinking of a backfield where two running backs, because you guys were trying to push Liner Bush down my throat.
Reggie Bush and Linda.
Harris and Rocky Blyer, too, back then.
That would have
been a good one, too.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you for that.
I like this idea of like a wishbone offense where there's two running backs who are so good you don't know who to focus on. One goes one way, the other goes the other way. But I couldn't come up with one.
How about Bill in California? Bill, what's up?
Hey, let's not forget about the good old duel of Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras.
Bill, you're speaking my language here. I think it's just my age and the fact that I played tennis. The Agassi Sampras was like everything, to me. But again, yes. I wonder if McEnroe Borg was a little bit, maybe a little bit more intense.
I don't know about that. I just think that Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras, their names wouldn't be where they are without the two of them together.
Bill, the other reason I like Agassi Sampras, we're talking about best sports duos. Maybe that's more of a rivalry. The two guys were total opposites in terms of how they were portrayed. Sampras, buttoned up, clean cut, just preppy looking type. And then Andre Agassi out there, long hair, wearing jorts. you know, the rebel, yeah. you know, all that stuff.
Sampras is an uber nerd, and Agassi was so cool.
At least that's on the outside what it was.
I will tell you, though, there's been multiple documentaries and a couple movies on Borg McEnroe. There just seems something just a little different. But then Lendl was in that mix, and you brought up a great point, Nadal Federer as well.
I always think of it as Federer and Nadal, but I know that Djokovic came in. But to me, it's always Nadal and Federer. That was because Nadal had Federer in ways that nobody could challenge Federer except for Nadal. So it meant something.
But Everett and Martina is a famous one now
because they met in 23 finals or whatever,
and they were real rivals for a long time. So Serena really didn't have it. Did her and Graf ever really face each other enough to be
Serena
a rival?
Serena Graf?
Yeah.
No.
Like, she didn't have anyone, basically.
No,
right?
People try to make Serena and Venus.
Yeah.
But people try to make Serena and Maria Sharapova a thing, but Sharapova never won.
Short-lived.
I think she won one time, so it's not a real rivalry. Why? No, Serena really didn't.
Was I that far off on Steffi Graf?
Yeah,
what
definitely.
What was her last major?
It's going back a ways.
Yeah, Steffi Graf and Serena. No.
Let's see.
Well, I'm just saying, that's like where the Mount Rushmore, right? Like, there's nobody even close. That's a rivalry, like, historically.
What? Graf and Monica Seles?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, we're talking about, like, that level. Like, there was no, like, Borg McEnroe. Serena did not have anybody. Was anybody within 10 majors of her?
Margaret Court and, you know, the people played a long time ago. But Venus would have been the rival, but obviously they're sisters and they love each other. You know, it was very different. Okay, we got two here. Trey's in South Carolina. Trey, greatest sports duo, who is it?
All right, so a little outside the box here, guys. Give me Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan.
You know, listen, Pete did Belichick and Brady. Popovich and Duncan is just peanut butter and jelly. I mean, they go together, Trey, so well. You think it's almost like Popovich and the way he coaches was just so perfect for the demeanor of Duncan. You know, Duncan being that understated superstar, never about himself, never wanted the spotlight, really. And Dunk and Popovich could just, you know, coach him very hard, and it set the tone for the rest of the team, like a Belichick-Brady thing. I love it. How about Mike in Syracuse, Tim Duncan and someone else?
Yeah, it was Tim Duncan and David Robinson, the Twin Towers.
But another great one.
Since you already sort of stole half of that, I'm going to give Perloff one about two running backs, both won the Heisman Trophy, played together.
Notre Dame, Oklahoma, what do you got?
Mr. Inside, Mr. Yeah. Outside. Doc Blanchard and I think it was Glenn Davis. Not Glenn Baby Davis.
No.
But yeah, West Point, what was it, late 40s, post-war?
What? Yeah. No, I was thinking about that. What about, did Oklahoma ever have two Heisman kind of running backs? I think they did with Steve Owens or somebody. But anyway, double check that one.
Oklahoma State had Barry Sanders.
Well, Barry and Thurman.
But they actually didn't really share the backfield.
Right.
Barry was too good, and Thurman's like, don't let that guy on the field.
There also was, and this might be problematic, but there was the Pony Express.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
Getting in some trouble. Mike.
Dickerson, James. And then death penalty.
Yep.
So, you know, there's that.
Still a great duo, though, Mike. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Great call all around. See you guys on the phones. We're going to get back to it. The greatest sports duos of all time. That's your great debate today. Sort of inspired by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. CeeLo, what do you have?
All right, give you a couple different things here. It was pretty empty and quiet Minneapolis last night as they ran J.J. McCarthy out there at Target Field to throw out the first pitch ahead of Twins Rays. So this video, which we're going to listen to, obviously, was shot from the crowd. It wasn't from the TV broadcast, which I guess didn't air anywhere. I tried to find it. But I thought it kind of captured the reaction to tell you how it went for J.J. The guy who films it, very understated, goes, oh boy.
How bad was it?
Just a bit outside. It was basically in the lefty batter's box all the way to the screen. The catcher basically gave up on it. So another instance of one of these pro athletes from another sport just having no clue how to deliver a baseball.
Wait a minute, though. Hold on. This is not... Justin Jefferson missing.
Thrower of the ball, but I will say the mechanics of throwing a baseball versus a football, very different. So if you've spent your whole you know, adult life or career, collegiate career, heading into the NFL now, throwing a football, and they run you out there to throw a baseball. It's a little different.
A bunch of Viking fans just gave up their season tickets.
Right, exactly.
Say, maybe Sam Darnold is going to be starting.
That was the reaction, I think. There wasn't a ton of people there. Seats were pretty empty, but that, it was like, really? This is the guy we just
I got some respect for J.J. McCarthy, though, because he went to the real mound, and he tried to make a real pitch.
He did.
Like these people who want to do, you know, basically 30 feet away and do a soft lob. Like, he tried to fire it in there, and it went a little wide.
He definitely put some mustard on it, but it didn't come close to
Catch. He's way off. This is the football equivalent of throwing it into the first row. Imagine Justin Jefferson seeing this. He knows. He's practice with them every day.
Yeah, so that was kind of an inauspicious start to the game. And then they end up in a rain delay for over an hour in the eighth inning. So by the time the Twins end up rallying to win, there's literally essentially almost nobody left in the ballpark, and you can kind of hear that here on the final call.
Breaking ball line, right center field, that's a base hit. Here comes Manny Margot. Here comes Manny, and this one's over. The Twins will walk it off. Pinch hitting Carlos Santana adds the extra point, and the Twins win a rain-soaked series opener, 7-6 the final.
Got the extra point reference there after McCarthy threw out the first pitch. So a little football flavor for the Twins last night at home. A little more exciting finish in Anaheim, but only if you were a fan of the visiting Milwaukee Brewers.
Fly ball right center. Back Frelick on the warning track. Leaping and he caught it! It's over! Sal Frelick up and over the yellow line. He robs a homer. And the Brewers end up winning this ball game by a final of 6-3.
That's Brewers Radio. Kind of a different way to end it now. It was 6-0 to start that inning, and Anaheim actually had two runners aboard, so that would have tied the game had he not robbed the homer.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So kind of a cool way to end it for the Brewers.
You know, speaking of the Angels, because obviously the team's not very good right now, but did you see the headline with Mike Trout?
No.
He said his rehab is going slower than I thought would. That's rare. First of all, don't we always get the update? Like, I'm ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
That's generally
not when it comes to Mike Trout.
Feels like his body is really failing him. Maybe kind of Captain Obvious here. But then he had the neck and back thing last year, a couple years ago, where they were like, yeah, this is going to be something to deal with the rest of his career. Like, it's just, I've been worried that the end of his career is going to look really sad.
So, I feel for him because he's been emotional about it a couple times, just not being able to stay healthy. So I'm not trying to poke fun at it, but as him staying healthy and on the field, it's difficult.
But what's the point, really?
Of him coming back.
Of him coming back, right? I mean, that's the problem.
14 games out of first.
That's the problem, right? Like, if the injury, I'm sure this happened in other seasons with him. So, man, it stinks.
It stinks. Shohei was right to get out of there.
Well, that team.
Yeah.
Nobody's questioning that, right? Like, the Angels are so snake-bitten.
I know.
It's probably their own fault. I mean, they've probably made mistakes, but God, I wish Mike Trout had gotten out of there, really, and come to Philadelphia.
Stanley.
Of course.
In fact, I'm like,
by the way, actually, Philadelphia, you guys don't need him. Like, you're fine.
I know. It's just sort of, he's a hometown guy. Yeah. It'd be cool.
Yeah. Philly, big Eagles fan.
I don't even,
right?
EJ's going to be like, oh, he's from Jersey.
Yeah.
It's different.
South Jersey. That's Philly.
South Jersey is Eagles country.
By the way.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys
it's
are in the lead country. By 8 games. Stop being greedy. You got Trey Turner. You got Bryce Harper. You got
loaded.
You got everybody.
Oh,
Nick Castellanos keeps running into him.
Won a game last night, right? Or was that two nights
ago? Yeah, no, he won
Ranger
last night.
Ranger Suarez might be the best pitcher to ever grace a mound. You're good.
I want to cut that conversation when I told you guys not to give up on the Mets, and you scoffed at me.
I was not here for that, by the way.
Oh, you were not here. I was baseball is unpredictable. And Pete's like, no, I know our lineup. There's no way we're going to be good again.
I'm so scoffing at it.
They're 13.5 games back, guys. This is not a Mets conversation. I don't want to have that conversation today.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, anyone who thinks you can predict what's going to happen in baseball, it's not happening. The Phillies will probably be terrible the second half.
A lot of ebbs and flows across 162.
It's emotional hedging
happening
here, man. I know.
It's so predictable.
It's baseball. You might as well try and predict a golf tournament. It's impossible.
Speaking of ebbs and flows, that's what's going on in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Florida Panthers were up 3-0. They have now had two chances to try and close out the Edmonton Oilers and failed to do so. Edmonton last night, a 5-3 victory on the road to force a game 6 back in Edmonton. Connor McDavid starred again with 4 points, I should say, 2 goals and 2 assists. That's 2 consecutive 4-point games for him. And lastly, just because Perloff just mentioned golf, what's your thoughts on the PGA Tour basically creating this exemption for Tiger Woods starting next year, where he will get to compete in all the signature, the elevated events, even though he is not really qualified for them, and that will be for the remainder of his life/playing career, as long as he wants to go with it.
Yeah, I get it. We talked about this a bit, though. Like, what's golf going to do after Tiger? And I thought they are having a little bit of momentum here because Bryson and Brooks and Scottie Scheffler's not a great personality, but he's a great golfer. And maybe you turn the page from Tiger, but clearly they don't want to. They want him around as long and as healthy as humanly possible.
Yeah, I can't fault them for this, right?
I don't fault them for it.
And obviously, as a fan, even if he's not going to win, I'd still rather have at least the chance that Tiger does something. Listen, Tom Watson almost won a major at 59. You
British
never
Open,
know.
Yeah. And that's the one, as the guys get older, they seem to be able to contend in a little bit more. So
in the British Open, I know, it's so quirky.
There were the Masters as well, depending on the year and the conditions. So those are the two. I'm curious.
Phil was 50 and he won the PGA.
Yeah, and has gone south since. But yes, absolutely.
Those guys just didn't have the wear and tear on the body.
Right.
Like I've been saying since all this, we talked about this earlier this year, that he should retire. This tells me more that he should retire. It's like, now they got to make rules for you to
qualify. Oh, they're doing the opposite. I wouldn't be surprised if they give him a cart.
I know.
Yeah. They're not going to.
They would. I think he's hesitant to go down that path. That's why I'm curious. Like, I get the idea of doing it so he has the option here as far as the exemption goes. But he's had opportunities to play in some other events outside of the majors. And I think just from a health physical standpoint, hasn't been able to
No, he can't play his schedule. And he's going to get exemption from every major because obviously he's won already. So he already gets that. But, you know, we were just watching last week at the U.S. Open, right? And we're looking at that. It's like, oh, Pinehurst. Like, this is actually a quote-unquote easier, you know, course. And he couldn't even make the cut.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of great golfers don't make the cut. I mean, like, a lot of top 10 players didn't make the cut at Pinehurst. And he made the cut at the Masters. I mean, it's not dead.
He made the cut and came in dead last.
Yeah, but still, to make the cut there, I mean, we're not talking about a charity case by any means.
But this is Tiger Woods, though. This is the greatest golfer arguably ever, and we're talking about he made the cut.
Yeah, I mean, but
it's like saying Jordan averaged 10 points a game.
Who is some other guys who didn't? Dustin Johnson didn't make the cut at Pinehurst, or whatever.
Justin Thomas.
I saw Hovland, who's red hot, didn't make the cut.
At a certain point, don't you think it's sad, though, to watch Tiger like this? That's the thing for me.
No, for golf, I just think, like, I still think there's a shot. You know, I think it's worth it. It's not sad to me. I totally understand what you're saying. I don't mind. Are you more or less likely to tune in a day the Tiger's there?
I'm always more likely, but I will side with EJ that it's getting harder and harder to watch. Not from an entertainment standpoint, but from like a cringe standpoint, watching him essentially like break down in front of us, you know? Like, I know
physically.
He's getting old. Yeah, physically. Exactly. And I think he can still hit shots. And your point about making the cut is true, but it's putting the four consecutive days together, even on a flat course, is very, very difficult for him at this stage.
It's going to be tough, but he gets the exemption now, so we got a lot more Tiger in our lives. 855-212-4227. CeeLo, thank you so much. You are still welcome to weigh in. Our great debate today is the greatest sports duos of all time, inspired by Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You are welcome to give us your thoughts. We also have Dak Prescott. Where is he? We'll tell you next. Maggie Brown. You know, that's the cowboy quickie music. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Got to check in on the Cowboys. Haven't done that in a couple days. Here is Dak Prescott. He's at Tight End U. Is that what they call it, Pearl?
Oh, yeah.
Tight End U.
It's probably the ultimate position. Apparently every position gets together in June. I did not know this. But Tight End U is the high-profile one.
So here's Dak Prescott, famously not a tight end, but a quarterback, telling young tight ends how tight ends are quarterback's best friend.
You know, tight end, y'all got an offense, every part of it. I would say I challenge you to the run game, right, pass protection, all that. The next step is truly knowing what your quarterback's thinking when he's throwing you the ball, because you guys are quarterback's best friend. We've got to throw the ball across the middle to the right to take advantage of our matchups outside. If we're not on the same page as you, we don't have a shot.
All right, so there you go.
I have a couple questions.
Yes.
Why is Dak Prescott, who is waiting on this contract at Tight End U,
probably invited.
Why would Dak Prescott, he doesn't need to go to Tight End U. Like, this is not like, oh, we bring in, it was like him and Matt Hasselbeck were the guest quarterback. I don't know, it just struck me as funny. Nobody else thinks this is weird? This is not where he usually shows up. Like, nobody, like Dak Prescott's ever been in tight, it's like George Kittle's party for like, I don't know. It just seemed funny. Like, I don't know.
Well, you need quarterbacks at the camp so they can throw to the tight ends. Well, you can't throw to yourself.
I know, so you get a journeyman quarterback. You don't get Dak Prescott in the middle of a contract negotiation. What if he got hurt throwing the ball over to George Kittle?
He's going to be fine. This is great. I love that they brought in Prescott. And I don't know, is this like passive-aggressive to like Jake Ferguson's? Like, you have to be... Jake Ferguson's fine. But it's like, you got to know exactly what the quarterback is thinking at all times. Read my mind.
Well, he got off a plane with Jake Ferguson and Dalton Schultz. Jake Ferguson and whoever the third string guy was.
Schoonmaker? Hendershot?
I can't remember, but it was like a big deal. It was like a hero shot. He was there to support his own tight ends.
Which is great. How do you don't like this? This is awesome.
No, I just think it's bizarre. It's like, what if I told you Lamar Jackson was at tight end U? I don't know. It just strikes me as a funny place for Dak to show up. They don't usually, like, it's famous, like, to have, like, it's tight ends who go get hammered for 3 days in Nashville. It's very much like, it's supposed to be like a guy's guy kind of, like, retreat. Like,
I thought they're putting in work.
I'll get out of here. This is June. Tight end you think they're there to learn routes? Come on. These are tight ends. They know how to party, man.
No, he's talking to young people.
Yeah. Well, the picture, what's his name? Greg Olsen standing right behind him. But this is more of a pro thing, isn't it?
Well, this was Dak talking to a bunch of young tight ends about how to make it in the NFL. So there you go. That's your cowboy quick.
It's run by Kittle and Kelsey. Like,
that's a party.
That's the party position right now. Gronk, of course, is the ultimate.
I think that maybe, you know, offensive linemen, I think still can get after it a little bit.
Yeah, but they don't get like the high profile, like Gronk beach parties in Vegas kind of thing.
I think it's better. I'd rather be a offensive lineman who has a party lifestyle because you can go a little more under the radar.
There's an offensive lineman convention going on right now. Jeff Schwartz, our buddy, is there. I don't know. I feel like the buffet line, you better get there quick because there's not going to be a lot left.
No, that's a good point. 855-212-4227. You mentioned it. Dak still no contract. Other quarterbacks getting paid. We'll see what happens there. Our great debate today is the greatest sports duos of all time. Let's go to Rick, who's in Myrtle Beach, has got one for us. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
We're excellent.
Great. Hey, I grew up in Chicago, and every day I come home from school and the Cubs are on, Harry Carey and Steve Stone.
As a broadcasting duo?
In the broadcasting duo, yes.
Man,
yes.
Rick, great answer. Thank you for that. We've been talking mostly about teammates, athletes, a little bit, you know, coaches and athletes, but we did not go broadcasters yet as great duos.
I had Richie Ashburn and Harry Callis growing up, which was, to me, iconic, and I understand, like, everybody has their own.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's pretty good.
You had a good one, right? Who are the
for the Met? Well, you had Ralph Kiner. I mean, I was a little bit young for that. For the Kiner's corner. Obviously, you know, for me, Howie Rose has had a bunch of different ones, but it's more about the Mets TV broadcast for us.
Tim McCarver gets very under.
He was awesome.
Rated on Met broadcast, but he was a mainstay for the 80s and 90s.
Yep. How about Bob Uecker and the guy who didn't say anything in the movie Major League? that was an
iconic.
Don't call
him the best color man of the business. Marty?
What's his name? I don't know.
I think it was Marty.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
What was that, Pete?
Fly ball caught.
Yeah. I mean, you also got, you know, Clyde and Marv Albert. Clyde and Mike Breen, even.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, J.J. Doris and Mike Breen will not be making this list.
They'll make a duo or trio list, unfortunately.
It's not gonna work.
Shaq and Charles is the broadcaster. I feel like if you want to pick out two.
Chuck and Kenny.
Yeah.
They were together for like 15 years before Shaq got there.
Madden Summerall.
I feel like Shaq and Charles play off each other in a way. But I hear, Madden Summerall is a great one.
Nance and Billy Packer.
Madden.
What's up?
Alan Madden.
Yeah.
I think Alan Chris.
Yeah.
Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth.
Dennis Miller. I'll say that.
No, that didn't work out.
Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser. Who did they have? Who was the third in that booth?
It was the former quarterback, the Chargers.
Dan Fouts.
Fouts.
I think, I said it before, Nance and Billy Packer. Yeah. I mean, that was great on the NCAA tournament.
Fantastic. Yeah.
We could just do a whole broadcaster thing.
And we should.
Which I think was part of our summer plans.
Gruel Monsoon and Bobby Heenan.
There you go.
Fantastic. 855-212-4227. Keep them coming. Best sports duos of all time. We also are remembering the legacy and the life of Willie Mays.